Testing. Now you're able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Don't. We're about to start. Okay. We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos. Yoredei. I'm sorry, Evan Hoezer. Hilchas Piri Varivia, Halacha Gimel. We're in the middle of paragraph Lamed Dalid. In our Likutei Halachos, it's the left-hand column of page 47, the last paragraph on the page. Vegam kol hachochmois chaserin. And in addition, all secular wisdoms are incomplete. At Sherubah Moedim Biatzmam, to the point where majority of the people who study these wisdoms admit She'ein Yoedim Klal, that they don't know anything, you know, that they recognize that there's so much that they still don't know with all their studies. Kize Alofim Shonim She'choikrim Chochmas Hatchuna, because it's already thousands of years that they're studying astronomy. And recently, there was a scientist that came up with a whole new idea as to how the galaxies work in terms of what revolves around what. And all the other scientists accepted his new theory. You know, they fell in love with it. Whereas Rav Nosson says, in reality, it's pure baloney to anybody who's got a brain in his head. As is explained in the books of those who disagree with this scientist and his theory. One thing is for sure, Rav Nosson says, one of these two opinions, one of these two conflicting opinions, is wrong. This one says that the sun revolves around the earth. This one says the earth revolves around the sun. V'lashov omlu hachachomim oy horishoinim oy achroinim kol yemehem limtsoi chochmas hatchuna. And all of these scientists, the earlier ones, the later ones, have all been working in vain to try to understand how it works, how the astronomy works. Umeuma loynosu ba'molam. They haven't accomplished anything with all their analysis and all their work. Ki hu achroinim sosru deois harishoinim. Because the later scientists have disproven the earlier ones. Umi yodea heicho emes. And who knows where the truth really lies? Ubeemes hu sheloi kedivrei ze veloi kedivrei ze. And Rav Nosson Zal says, I'm telling you that the truth is not with them and not with, they're both wrong. V'chein b'shar ha-chochmois. And the same thing is true regarding other secular wisdoms. U'befrat b'chochmas ha-doktorai. Especially if we want to talk about the medical field. Shenire l'choyra shehu l'toivas oylam. Where at first glance, it looks like these are such wonderful people who are looking to benefit mankind, in order to save people from their illness and suffering. Ubeemes, however, in truth, einenu horoyos, our eyes see, kama alofim verivavois nefoshois, shoku vomesu al yedea doktorim dafka. How many thousands and tens of thousands of people have gone down and died through the doctors. Kasheroyim b'chush b'chol yoyim, as we see in real life, every day. Kemo Yishom Rabbeinu Zal, and as Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, in Sichoy Soran, paragraph 50, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, She doktorim chorigim nefoshois rabois la'ein misbor, the doctors kill many, many people. V'heim bi'atzmon moedim, she kol kach chochmu b'chochmas ha-doktorai, at she'achshov ein yoidim uma. And they themselves admit that they've done so much research that they've come to the conclusion that they don't really understand how much it works. With all the information that they've come up with and everything, they realize that they don't understand how it works, whether it's the DNA, whether it's this. V'yesh machlokes godol b'neihem. And there's major controversy among the doctors in the medical field. Sh'ledivrei zeh deo acheres memises odom. According to opinion A, according to school A, they hold that school B is killing people, that those doctors who are practicing medicine in this particular way, they're killing people. Uledivrei shekenegdoi, and the other school of thought, hulefech, they say the exact opposite, that's the other school that's killing people. We know there's alternative medicine today, and there's standard medicine, there's Chinese medicine, there's hemopathia. And usually, most of them definitely believe that the other guys are a bunch of murderers and thieves. Kimavura bitvoreinu mizeh, as we've discussed this throughout our teachings. Ve'im kein, and if all of this is the case, halavai v'lo yhoyinu yoidim me'oilam michochmas ha'doktorai, we would have been much better off not going into this study whatsoever. We would have been much better off if the world never entered the study of medicine, period. If they just left it alone and studied music and other things instead. Bevadai hoyo achshav b'nei tevel b'kiflayim. Rav Nosnal says, were it not for the study of medicine throughout these 5,700 some odd years, there'd be double the amount of people on the globe that we have today. And the same thing is true regarding the other wisdoms. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues. V'afilu im lefa'omim nitzmach mitzad echod eiza toivo al yidei chochmosam. Even if, at times, from a particular angle, there is some benefit to mankind through some of these secular studies, hiro mitzad acher, it ends up being harmful in other ways. You know, as we look today, for example, at the technological revolution, we look at what we have available to us today. That you don't have to talk to anybody. You can text and email and, you know, instantaneous communication. And you would think this would bring people so much closer together. And we see that one of the byproducts of this fabulous idea and this wonderful gift to mankind is that people are talking less and less to each other. Because we have this instant communication, I don't have to talk to you. I can just text you. So we're doing less. This super communication is cutting down communication in other ways by 90%. Kids, as we know that the kids who had the incredible, wonderful benefit of television and radio, we know most of them, their brains have become scrambled in the process. Well, we have ADD and DDA and ALC, we have the whole alphabet. We have alphabet soup instead of brains. In many of the kids, that's thanks to television, thanks to the fact that parents don't have to communicate with kids anymore, don't have to interact. You put a kid in front of the TV and you forget about him for a couple hours, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's educational. There's Sesame Street, it's even educational, it's fabulous. So that was phase one of lessening the brains, you know, shrinking the brains. Now we're into phase two, where people are going to talk less and less to each other, so they're going to forget the skill of speaking. People are going to forget how to talk. If a person has to engage another human being in conversation, don't know how to do it, because we're so used to who talks? You text, and you Facebook, and you Twitter, and you Bitter, and that's it. You don't have to talk to nobody, you know. So Rav Nosnal says, even if on one side we see benefits coming from these chachmasim, there's always the other side to it. Vafilu tzad hatoiva hu ro'o gedoila. And even the good aspects of many of these wisdoms, new wisdoms that have been introduced to the world, is major harm, major bad. Ki ba'olam hazeh ein shum toivo klal. Because within the materialistic world, within the gashmius world, there is no such thing as good, real good. Good is only good where it serves an ultimate purpose, where there's a future to it. Well, this was such a good meal. I went to a restaurant, I paid $300. I had the best wine. This was a great, great meal. This is nuts. The person needs to go into a mental hospital. You use the word great about a meal? What are you, crazy? You eat because you have to eat. You have to keep the body alive. What better, more expensive, less expensive, this, that, all, shtuyot. You don't use the word greatness. We're applying the term greatness to something in the materialistic world. Uma yisroin lodom. Kishemamtzi nigun yofe b'chokhmas ha-muzika. Rav Nosnal says, gives another example. What benefit is there to mankind when somebody creates a beautiful song, a beautiful musical composition, sheyoga olav kol yomav, whereby this person worked on this his whole life to get to a level, Mozart, Beethoven, these people who studied music for years, you know, to advance to levels where they can put together these incredible symphonies, ulabasoif, and in the end, alidei hanigun hazeh nimshach achar taivas niyuf. As a result of this music being played in music houses, you know, opera, you know, theaters and places like that where they're playing this music, what those places end up being is places which encourage adultery, you know, people meeting with other people's wives and women and them, shememis esodom begashmius veruchnius, which ends up destroying people physically and spiritually, kanira b'chush, as we see in real life. During Rav Nosson Zal's time, this stuff started taking off. Theater, you know, the Renaissance, the assimilation, Jews, especially in Germany, places like that, Jews wanting to join the secular culture, become part of secular society, be allowed to share in the culture, the music, the art, the theater. Shehem hoilchem bebotei tartiois v'kirkasoi shalahem, whereby Jews go to their cultural places, their theaters and circuses, shekoyren theater, the comedias, which are called theater and comedy houses, ukiyotzebese, and similar things to that, v'shom mo'irovim zchorom unikevois b'li shum hevdel, and there for sure there is no separation whatsoever between men and women. Men and women are all, boys and girls all sitting together, and celebrate v'shoimim shir agovim, and they're listening to love songs, things like that. V'oisim mashoisim kimafursim kolzeh, and they end up doing what they do, as is known. V'einom yecholim lahakchish zois, and they cannot deny this. Kihem biatzmom yoidim biatzmom machshavtom hakedoisho v'atoira sheyeshlem sho, because they know very, very well their holy, pure thoughts that go through their minds in these places, when they're in these places, when the women are dressed a certain way, and the perfume, and the whole scene. U'mashoisim acharkach, and what they do after the theater, and after the concerts. Oy lohem, oy lenafsham. Woe is to them, woe is to their souls. Val kol ponim heim poirshim atzmo miderech hachayim, and the least fact is that they cut themselves off. They're disengaging from the path of life, miderech toiraseinu agdosha, from the path of our holy Torah, sheosrozois, which forbids a Jew participating in secular culture, attending theaters, places like that. Kamoy Shekosuv, as it says clearly in the Torah, Uvechukoiseyem loy seilechu, that a Jew is not permitted to go to their cultural, to engage in their cultural productions. Kamoi Shapirosh Rashi Sham, and as Rashi and Chumash over there elaborates, specifying exactly what it's referring to. Veheim mevalim yomim uzman hamufchar al shtusim koelu. And they end up wasting their days and their precious time on nonsense like this. Ve'achris simcha tuga. And the result of this kind of joy and happiness is sadness, depression. It doesn't, people go to theater, they know, wow, I had such a great time. And the great time is usually forgotten within a couple of hours. And the people go back to depression because it's like a high. People say that it health-wise, if a person eats something that's packed with sugar or things like that, it gives the person a temporary high, it gives the person a burst of energy, but afterwards the body goes the other way. It rebounds and goes down, further down than normal. V'chol hatzorois v'hayisurim shiesh lem kol yameihem, and all the suffering and pain and unhappiness that these people have throughout their lives, heim yoidim bi'atzmam, they know very well, they know themselves, that they're not having such a happy life. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, rak ho'aniyim vo'hev yoinim k'tanei asechel, she'enam b'kiyim b'tiv ho'ilam, it's only the poor, simple people who are not intellectual, not highly intellectual, not highly cultural, who are not knowledgeable in all of these things, in the worldliness. Rakheim soivrim, shanoshim koelu, haholchim b'shriris libum, badrochim halolu shalmechakrim, she'eschilum echodesh v'nesen rabim, yeshlem kol hoylam azeh v'chayim benachas. It's only those people who are under the mistaken impression that these people, the rich people, who get to attend theaters and they get to go out and they get to go to these restaurants and they're leading their, you know, living a free lifestyle, what we call a free lifestyle, they think that those people, mamish, they have it all. And they're living a life of pleasure and fun and relaxation, entertainment. Aval be'emes, but the truth is, mi sheyesh loy moyach bekodkodoy, a person who has a brain in their head, uboki bohem ubedarkeim, and knows those people, knows really what's going on in those people's lives, hu yodea me'oitzem merirus chayehem. That person knows the true bitterness that those people's lives are full of. Sheimaleim kas umachoivos, yogoin vanocho kol yemeim. They're full of anger, pain, sadness, their whole lives. V'chorkim shinom b'chol eis, and they grit their teeth all the time in anger, in resentment, al hachasidim hatmimim v'ksherim, over the religious folk, the people who are really, really religious, al shesmeichim simcho amitiyis b'ashem yisporach, when they see those people enjoying true happiness with Hashem, when they see those people celebrating a holiday like Purim, like we had yesterday, where they see the people getting ready for Pesach, ooh, I'm going to be getting, my parents are going to get me a new dress, and this one's going to get new shoes, and we're going to have matzah, and wow, the special foods that we're going to have for all the different things. When these cultural, non-religious Jews see that, they grit their teeth in hate and resentment. They can't stand watching these simple religious people enjoying life, in a sense. Ve'yesh lohem nachas ruach v'simcha gedoyla b'shabosas v'yamim toivim. And these simple religious folk have pleasure and tremendous happiness on Shabbos and on Yontif u'kiyotze bozeh, or any other times like that. During all the times when we get to remember the wonderful things that Hashem has done for us, that he set us apart from these people who have drifted off the right path. And Hashem has placed our lot with the ones, the true living, the ones who are living a real good life, lehamin b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi, to be privileged to believe in Hashem and His servant Moshe Rabbeinu, b'Torah shebichsav v'Torah shebal peh, to believe in the written Torah, the oral Torah, u'b'sifrei hazoyar v'harizal v'abal Shem Tov, and to be zeichet to believe in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Sifrei Chassidus, kihem, because these are the people, the people who have walked away from all of that. They've walked away from a simple religious Jewish life, and they've chosen to assimilate, to try to go with the non-Jewish or the secular culture. Kol yemehem ein lohem shum simcha amitis. Throughout their entire lives, they do not experience any true happiness. Shetia magia lechelik me'elef mima'at ha'simcha sheyesh lepocha sheb'Yisrael b'knisha Shabbos. To be able to experience even 1/1,000th of the pleasure that a simple Jew, the simplest simple Jew, experiences when Shabbos is coming in, ukiyotze, or other Jewish religious experiences, rak lehefer, but rather just the opposite. Kol yemeim kasum achoivos, their entire lives are filled with anger and suffering. V'tomid choser lohem ribui taivoseim lein kates, and they're always thinking about what they don't have. They don't have. They haven't seen this show yet. They haven't heard this. They haven't done. Always lacking. Ki heim roitzim sheyia hakoil b'shleimus etzlam. Because those people are seeking perfection within the materialistic world. They want to know that they have everything. Sheyia hamalbush tofur kiritzoinoi daiko b'chol adikdukim, that the clothing that they're wearing, this new suit that they bought, that they paid, a regular suit cost $200, they paid $800. And they had it custom made and tailored, and they used the best kind of things. They want to know for sure that their suit has every detail, that not one detail is off. B'chol adikdukim v'protim orabim shuroitze, every single detail that he wants. And again, a suit alone isn't enough. You have to have your afternoon outfit. There's the morning outfit, there's the afternoon outfit, and then there's the evening outfit. Everybody knows. When these kind of people go to a hotel, they go away, they have to bring major, huge suitcases of clothes, because there's no way I want anybody to see me in the afternoon with what I was wearing in the morning. In the morning, I went to the pool, and there I wear, besides the bathing suit, there's the outerwear that accompanies the bathing suit at the pool. And then in the afternoon, it's a different kind of thing. It's the shorts or the polo shirt or the this. And then in the evening, of course, nobody comes to, you don't come to dinner dressed in the afternoon thing. You have to go back up to the room and change a third time. So there's at least three sets of clothes. If you didn't stain anything, you didn't get anything dirty, then it becomes four sets of clothes. Kizeh hamalbush tzorech baboiker kishikome mitosoi. Because this garment is what you put on in the morning when you get up. Vezet sorech beis yitziosei lashuk. But you don't wear that when you're going outside. What you wear in the house, when you get up, walking around the house, everybody, you don't wear that when you go outside. Vezeh batzoraim. And then there's a third outfit, which is for the afternoon. And Rav Nosson Zal adds in parentheses, umalbush letoich hakever eino choshev klal. However, clothing that they're going to wear in the grave, that they're not thinking about at all, about preparing those, ordering those clothes. V'chein be'inyin haminolim, and so too regarding shoes. Again, 100 years ago, people had one pair of shoes. Today, it's at least three, four. The men have at least three, four pairs of shoes. For the ladies, it's 30, 40 pairs of shoes. Because I can't wear this in the fall. This is for the spring. This is for the fall. This is summer, winter. You have the four seasons. And then you have the more comfortable version. And then there's the more the version that you wear for, more elegant occasions. So you're talking about 8, 12, 16 pairs of shoes minimum. And the special polish that you use for them, vakleit shematfusim shaleim oishchemosim, and the special tools on which you they use to stretch the shoes or to keep the shoes that they should hold their form and shape. And similarly, the amount of need, the amount of things that people need, you know, begashmis, to exist, that they need, v'loy lonu. But Rav Nosson says, we don't need any of that. Hamatridim es yemehem. And all of this makes their days full, that they're so loaded down. This that the needs, the basic needs, are so huge. You know, you can't have a regular car if you're gonna be going away for a weekend like this, because you need a minimum if it's the two parents and the one kid and the dog. Again, you need at least a van to be able to transport all the different clothes that she needs and he needs and his golf clubs. And then there's the other stuff, there's the skis and all the different things. Umi shehu osher, choser loy hitzarchus kelu harbe moy. And a person who's wealthy is lacking many of these important, critical things that you need to be part of, you know, to be totally part of society. Ubifrat binyone hadiroi shelahem. Rav Nosson says, especially if we want to talk about housing, you know, where you live, uklei habayis shelahem, and all the things that you need in your house. Shehakoyel roitzim sheyal pi chochma, where everybody wants, each person wants to outdo the other one, that everything in their house should be smart. A smart refrigerator that knows when to turn itself off and on, and a smart phones, a smart this, and caller ID. At shemachmazeh robu tzarcheihem moed, to the point where as a result of this, the basic needs have grown incredibly. To the point where these wealthy people can't possibly live among ordinary people. They have to make sure they have to go out to Malibu. They have to go out, you know, they can't be in normal, in a city resident, you know, in an area which is reasonably populated. They need a lot of room, you know, for their housing. V'heim kol yemehem noem v'nodim. And they spend all their days traveling, again, because there's the summer home and there's the winter home. And I can't, right now I'm doing renovations here, so I can't be here, so I have to go there and I have to rent out my house. By day they have no rest, at night they have no quiet. And it's because of the fact that they want to have a beautiful home with all the different pitchifkas, with all the different details. As a result of this, they end up spending many nights in villages, in other words, and in hotels, you know, or non-Jewish places. And they end up spending most of their days not even in their own house. Because again, they can't be in their own houses because their house is always undergoing renovation. There's always renovations going on to put in the latest type of kitchen and the latest type of this. And when they do finally get into their house, they are so weighed down with all the nonsense, all the needs, to the point where they don't even know if they're at home or they're traveling. You know, they're so not used to being home. The guy wakes up in the morning, he doesn't know, is he in his own bed or is he in the hotel room? V'soif kol soif nasim balei choivis. And in the end, most of these people end up getting into financial trouble, into debt. To the point where there are many among them that end up committing suicide, shooting themselves or stabbing themselves. They intentionally take their own lives. Because of the many, many materialistic desires that they were busy chasing after their whole lives and never reached and never achieved.
Redstone group? What, the phone conference? Looks like it started.
Okay, give me time now.
Okay, I told him.
Ubemis.
No, it was important. Go ahead.
It started his project, Iris project? Great. Good. Ubemis, Gaman Sheben Israel, Haksherim, Tzrichim Milchama Gedoila, Im Yitzrom, Livli Lirdoif Achar Moisrois. Rav Nosanel says the truth is that even the most religious Jew has to fight a major battle with their Yetzer Hara, with their evil inclination, not to get sucked into pursuing things extras, all kinds of extras. I need, ooh, look at that. Look at that new thing they came out with. Look at this new thing they came out with. Ulehistapek b'muat b'chol mad efshar. And to try to live as simple as possible, to keep the gashmius, the materialism, to a minimum. Ki kol ma sheroitze lahashlim chesroino yoiser mizeh oilam, because the more a person tries to achieve satisfaction and fulfillment from things in the gashmius world, in the materialistic world, Choser loy oid harbe yoiser v'yoiser. It's a bottomless pit. He'll think, oh, I'm just going to get this one thing for my house. I usually don't buy these things, but just this one thing I'm going to get. And wow, my wife will be so happy. She'll be so happy. And he doesn't know that in most cases, it's Pandora's box. Because he got this, well, now if you have this, we have to have that also. You can't have this without that. And one thing, it sucks the person in. Kanira bechush, as we see in real life. Ki gam ha-hechroch yishel hodom, ha-muchrochem b'yoyser, rabim gam kemoy. Because Rav Nosanel says, the truth is, the basic needs that a human being has in this world are also a lot. There's a lot of stuff that you need to exist in this world, even on a simple level. Utzrichin levakish harbe moed mehashem yisporach, and a person has to beg Hashem a lot. Shelo yatriduhu hahechrochis meavoides Hashem yisporach. That even the things that I really need, the most basic things that I do need for myself and my family, should not take me away from being able to go to shul, from being able to daven with a minyan three times a day, from being able to get in at least a few hours of learning Torah a day. Because even the most simple basic needs takes time. To buy breakfast, to buy clothes, to buy the most, even a person keeps it as simple as possible. It's very easy for it to take up a major part of the person's time and life and not allow the person to even engage in the minimum of Yiddishkeit, of Torah and Tefillah and Avodas Hashem. Mikolshkein v'kolshkein, how much more so, she'ein tzrichen lirdoif achar moisrois, that a good Jew does not have to pursue extra things in the Gashmias world. Umikolshkein v'kolshkein, kamo rav omar adanofesh, darke elu ha-poyrshe medarche Yisrael. And how much more so, and how much more so, how terrible and bitter it is, the path of those Jews who assimilate, who leave the standard Jewish path, the standard religious path, ha-hoilchim b'chol minageyem bedarke ho-akum daika, and choose to lead a secular type of life, to try to emulate the non-Jews with all their styles in terms of fashion and clothing and vacations and restaurants, that whole secular and culture, where that lifestyle definitely tears a person out of Olam Haba, out of having any chance of being zeichet to olam haba, ki kol bo'eho lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigu orcho yischayim. Because the pasuk says, all those that enter into that path, it's a path of no return, and they will not achieve the path of true life. V'gam bo'olam hazeh hei maleim daigois v'yegoinois rabois mo'od. And even in this world, forget the next world. Let's talk about in this world. Rav Nosenthal says, these people's lives are full of worries, insecurity, suffering, dissatisfaction, lack of fulfillment. And their entire days are filled with anger, competition, all kinds of craziness and suffering. And they have nothing and nowhere to get consolation. Because even if they get $100,000, it doesn't satisfy anything. It doesn't satisfy the thirst. It's like drinking salt water. You ever try a person who's thirsty and give them a nice tall glass of salt water to drink and see if that's going to satisfy their thirst? Because of the fact that these people allow themselves to become far distant from Hashem, umikedushas toirosoi umitzvoiso, and from the holy Torah and mitzvahs, v'simchas Shabbos v'yontiv, and they've gone away from the pleasure of experiencing a religious Shabbos and holiday. Ki anshe Yisrael hapshutim, because the simple religious Jews, afilu oisam sheroitvim achar masu matan, even those who are chasing after business, they're always looking to make more money, they're always looking, to ulahutim achar hoisher, they're still chasing after wealth. Veleshibru taiva soilam azev avolov, they have not succeeded yet in breaking the desire for excesses in this world. Afal pikein, still, so long as they still believe in Hashem on their level, and they're following the path of our forefathers, and keeping to certain standards of Yiddishkeit, of religiousness, they're not following the clothing and the styles of the non-Jews, mamish the secular world, ve'eino mechanchim b'neim b'limud sifreim olishanoisam, and they're not educating their kids. They're not giving their kids secular, major, heavy, heavy secular education. Elu anoshim, these people, afal pi shegam heim yesh lehem harbe daigois, even though they also have a lot of worries, meiribui hitzarchu shelahem, because of all of their needs, that I need this and I need that, and I have to get this for my kids and I have to get that for my kids. Machma she'ein lohem midas histapkus koroi, because they have not mastered the quality of histapkus, of trying to really, really go with minimum gashmius and minimum olam hazeh. Afal pikein, despite all of that, yesh lohem chius v'simcha k'tzas, those people still experience some joy, happiness, celebration when Shabbos comes around, when Yontif comes around. They enjoy it. They do enjoy it to a degree. And they're always hope, because they believe in Hashem, they're hoping that Hashem is going to help, that next week I'm going to make more money and I'll have more, I'll be able to get more. And they think a little bit about their future, about their real future, about their olam haba. Umisnachamim, and they console themselves b'mashenoisnim es b'neim l'talmud Torah, with the fact that at least I'm sending my son to a yeshiva. Umishtadlim sheyelchu b'neim b'derech hayosher, and they strive to have their kids follow the right path, b'derech haTorah, b'derech avoseinu mi'olam, to follow the path of the Torah, the path that our grandparents went on and our forefathers. Mikol shkein, how much more so, hayireim v'haksherim, the people who are really, really religious, hamistakpkin bemuad kidei chiyuni betzimtzum, who really try to minimize, super minimize, their gashmius in this world, mikolshkein vekolshkein, and how much more so, hatzadikim amitiim, the true tzadikim, asher ponu orpam legamri mitayvas oilam hazev avolov, who have turned their head away completely from all the nonsense of this world, the materialistic world. And they attach themselves throughout their entire lives to Hashem. These people are zoiche to real life, to the real, real good life. Chayim amitim, the true life, she'ein bohem shum chisorin, where they don't know what it is to be missing anything, to be lacking anything. They are totally satisfied and happy and fulfilled all the time. I remember at the age of 16 and a half, I personally didn't come from a wealthy home at all whatsoever. My parents were Holocaust survivors, came to the United States after World War II, not knowing the language, not knowing English, not knowing anything, and started from zero. Had no parents, no relatives, you know, to help them anyway. You know, my father was a boarder in somebody's house, you know, and went right away looking for work and took on two or three jobs, father, mother, this one and that, you know, to try to support the family. And started out a few years renting an apartment until finally, in the golden America, if you're able to put down like 5% or 10% on the cost of a house, it's possible to buy a house. If you can show that you're working, that you're getting a paycheck, you know, regularly, and you're paying all your bills, you know, et cetera, until finally, after years, when I was about 6, 7 years old, they had the opportunity to buy a house, a small little house in a particular neighborhood, and live there a couple of years until the neighborhood went bad. Suddenly, different people moved into the neighborhood. They had to run from there, et cetera, and went back to renting in a different neighborhood, and then eventually bought another house, a three-family house with rent and this, you know, trying to pay up the mortgage, 30-year mortgage or something like that. And this is the home that I grew up in, I remember, till the age of when I was about 16, 17. There was rare, the issue of buying new clothing. Shirts, pants were never bought for kids or things like that. They were hand-me-downs, friends, different friends that were able to help out. This is how we grew up and were satisfied. There was never an issue of dissatisfied, never felt really lacking, never had hunger, never missed a meal, just about, you know, et cetera, even though on a certain standard. I remember at the age of six, now when I was about 16, at that time we were living in this three-family house. We had three bedrooms. My parents had a bedroom, my sister had a bedroom, I had a bedroom, and the house was split level, three levels, and we had a dining room set, you know, a table that was never, ever used. It was there only, nobody was allowed to go into the dining room. You know, it was just for show. It was something, you know, an artistic piece that many European Holocaust survivors, they know what I'm talking about. And then eventually they bought a living room set, you know, a little table, crystal with marble, which also nobody, was no use for it just about. If anything, might have been used once a year or once in 2 years when some relatives came over and everybody knew not to touch and not to use and not to this, that. This was the home that I grew up in at that time. And I'm using this as an introduction. And then somebody invited me to a shir, and I started attending the shir of Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha. And went to the shir for a few months. And at one point, after a few months being there, he invited a friend of mine and I to come to his house for the last days of Pesach. In Chutz Loretz, there's 2 days, Shvi Shel Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach. And I remember by that time, after having spent a few months listening to shiurim, I knew that this was like the Arizal. This was like getting an invitation from the Arizal, you know, from the 1500s. So this was nuclear. This was very special. And I remember Hashem helped that I was able to go with permission of my parents and went there. And I remember coming into his house. That was, I think, one of the first times in my life that I ever walked into an apartment building. I never knew what such a thing was. You know, we always lived like in private houses. From when I was born, we lived in a three-story house, three families. Never one of these buildings that has like 100 apartments or something like that in it. Came into this building, and I remember, looked, you know, interesting, strange a little, and then came into his apartment where you open the door, and right like 3 inches after we opened the door was his desk, you know, the desk where he sat at and did his learning, etc. And then right next to that were his Sfarim Shafas. He had like three bookcases, you know, filled with Sfarim, all the basics for him that he needed to become a tzaddik, you know, etc. He had what it took, and other things he had in his head, you know, that he had digested. And then found out that he was living in a one-bedroom apartment with 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, all grown up. The youngest one was a girl who was about 14 years old, you know, etc. And found out that the parents would sleep in the living room. In other words, they had a high-riser, what you call a high-riser, which during the day was a couch, people sat in it, and at night, you know, they would take it out and it would be the 2 beds that the parents slept on. And it was an incredible, simple, simple apartment, simple life, simple building. Everything was neat, clean. But I remember it was like, it was a new world, going into a new world. And I remember seeing from day one, from the minute I entered into that apartment, and the more I got to know him, the next few years that he lived there, I the feeling was that you were walking into a millionaire's house. Because one thing was perfectly clear, that there was nothing lacking. There was nothing lacking. There was no iota of unhappiness, not from him, not from his wife, not from his kids. You saw real, genuine, wall-to-wall happiness. Never laughing, kidding around. Every meal, there were always guests. Friday night, Shabbos morning, there were 2 guests, 5 guests, 7 guests. It was almost impossible that there could be a Shabbos meal without guests and the married kids coming over, you know, the 1 or 2 married kids at the time who lived close by, who also came for different meals. And it was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener then, and when I look at it now, 40 years later, it's still eye-opening to see how little it takes in this world for a person to be genuinely happy and to be traveling light, no excess baggage. And the person was able to devote 98% of his time to learning Torah, teaching Torah, being makarev people, you know, doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Period. That was the whole that was his involvement, and that was the focus of the house. It was 99% Hashem, you know, 100% Hashem, but minimum 99% Hashem and mitzvahs, just going from one mitzvah to the other, basically, you know. V'haklal, Rav Nosson Zal says, that's we're up to V'haklal Shekol Hoylam. Is that where we're up to? Which paragraph are we up to? V'haklal Shekol Hoylam Hazeh Molei Chesroinos. Rav Nosson Zal says, the fact is that this whole materialistic world is full of incompleteness, incomplete, lackings. V'chol ha-koruch achrov, and anyone who's being driven by that, anyone who's being driven for materialism, that thing, yesh loy chesroinois tomid, is always unfulfilled, unsatisfied. V'chol mi she-koruch achrov yoyser v'yoyser, and the more a person chases it and pursues it, the more the person is looking for every opportunity to buy this and buy that and get this and go on this vacation and go there, thinking that they're gonna feel a little, at least a little bit fulfilled. Even though it appears to the person as if they've reached a certain status of wealth and they have acquired Olam Hazeh. I've been to Italy, I've been here, I've been there. Afal pikein hu choser yoyser veyoyser. Still, that person, their hole is bigger. What they're lacking is more. what they're lacking in terms of total fulfillment. If you could put a thermometer on them and measure where they're up to and feeling fulfilled, you would see not only hasn't it gone up, it's gone down. As our rabbis tell us, a person does not die and leave this world having achieved even half of his desires. If a person goes that direction, that I want this and I want that, materialism, they never even get 50%. The Mishnah says, Yesh lo imono, mevakesh masayim. He has 100, he wants 200 more. He figures, he'll just have 200, he'll be 200 more, he'll be okay. He has 100 million, then he needs 200 million more. Ki kol ho'ilam hazeh nimshach mebechinas tchilas hatzimtzum. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to where we started from. Because again, guys, let's remember, how did this world come into existence? This world came into existence from a tzimtzum, from a shrinking, from a vacating, from Hashem vacating himself. Shehu bechinas chisorin, which is the concept of lacking, something becoming smaller. V'alkein hu mole yegoinois kas umachoivois udaigos v'chesronis tomim. That's why this physical materialistic world is full of anger, suffering, worry, lackings. Ki kol ho'olam hazeh lo nivra kiyum b'shvil ha'bechira. Because the reason why Hashem went ahead and created this whole world was for the sake of free choice. So that man should have the ability to choose and to be tested. And Hashem, out of his great kindness and goodness, he preempted everything and he enlightened us through his true tzaddikim. V'gam heralonu b'chush, and he also gave us the ability to see if we want to see, if we want to look honestly at what's going on around us. That the materialistic world is full of suffering. Lemaneda, so that we should realize, not to allow ourselves to be fooled, to get sucked into, you know, the wrong things. As Rabbeinu Zal said in Sichoi Saran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, paragraph 51, Bozer Haloshein. Rabbeinu Zal says, I'm quoting his words. Ezeh tekablu mimeni. Rabbeinu Zal said, this I want you to hear from me. Sheloi tanichu atzmechem lahatois bozer ho'olam. Don't allow yourselves to be tricked, to be fooled by this materialistic world. Because this world fools us completely. Because there isn't a single person who had a happy ending from pursuing gashmias, pursuing materialism. And Rabbeinu Zal said, we have to tell this even to the goyim. We have to enlighten them, to inform them. Ayin Shom, look over there in Sichoi Saran. Umi sheroitze shieloi chayim bozeh ho'olam. Therefore, a person who wants to live and have a good life in this world, yef sheloi lahasig kiim kishemistapek bebuot betachles hamuot mizeh ho'olam kedei chiyunoi betzimtzum. It's impossible to achieve that unless the person will train themselves to live on the minimum, the super, super minimum of gashmias, just what I need. If I need it, if I really need it, I get it. If I don't really need it, it's on sale, it's a bargain, it's free. Free nothing, were you nuts? Every inch of space in my house costs money. I don't want my house occupied with junk, more junk, things that I don't really, really need. V'gamze hama'at, and even that minimum, yihye kavanosei l'shem shamayim al pi ha-Torah. The person should have in mind that, why do I need a shirt? Why do I need pants? So I look good? No, I need a shirt to serve Hashem. Because in order to daven, you got to put on a shirt, you got to put on pants. Shebishvil ze, according to the Torah, kedei sheyuchal la'avod es Hashem yisborach, so I should be able to serve Hashem. Shebishvil ze nivra, that's why I was created. V'chol ma shemarachek atzmoi mitai v'soylam hazeh, and the more that a person succeeds in distancing themselves from all the desires and seductions of the materialistic world, umekasher atzmoi l'Hashem yisborach u'la'Torah, and he attaches himself more and more to Hashem and to the Torah, nismatin chesroinoisov, that person's needs become less. That person finds that they're lacking less things in life. They don't feel that they're missing a lot of things in their life. Ki nichlal bebechina shleimus yoser, because he's plugging into the ultimate perfection, the ultimate, the one who is perfect and complete. Ki Hashem yizborach ikar hashleimus, because the only one who is really perfect and complete, who has everything, is Hashem. So therefore, the more a person pulls away from the physical world, the materialistic world, and gets closer to Hashem, he's moving away more and more from lacking, from being lacking in things, and unfulfillment and unsatisfaction, v'nichlal bashleimus, and plugging into fulfillment, satisfaction, perfection. The ikar, and the most important connection to Hashem and to the Torah, hu ha'emuna, is faith. Ki ikar achizas ha'yetzahara hu mehakfirus. Because what allows the Yetzirah to grab a person, and how much does the Yetzirah grab a person? According to how much the person is lacking in faith. The main Yetzirah comes from kfira. The less faith in Hashem, the more Yetzirah gets hold of that person and drags him down, drags him into gashmias, into all kinds of junk. V'chol ha-kfirois nimshochem mebchinas koil ha-choizer kanal. And as we saw earlier, all of this lack of faith, all this denial of Hashem, comes from that koil choizer, from the echo, not the original sound of Hashem, but rather the echo, which came as a result of the tzimtzum, the constriction, which Hashem had to cause in order for the world to be created. We'll hold it over here. I hope in the next shiur we'll conclude this halacha, mitzvah Hashem. Grand finale.